Dick was a nice guy who always seemed to be the last one to know about anything. One day, Dick overheard some coworkers talking about the LA Edge Web Radio Network and how they loved the shows that were on it. Dick was curious, but his procrastination took over and he never checked it out. Don't be a dick. Listen to LA Edge Web Radio.
The following program is an LA Edge Web Radio exclusive and is rated NC-17 for adult language and content. That means if you do not condone adult language and content and do not want your child exposed to adult language and content, then turn this shit off right now. LA Edge Web Radio is not responsible for the upbringing of your child or is not responsible for what your child listens to or is exposed to. LA Edge Web Radio strongly supports the broadcasting rating system and therefore does not condone anyone under the NC-17 age rating listening to this program. Thank you. Now, on to the show. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast with That Guy. I am that guy, Chris, and I'll be talking with you guys here for who knows how long. Sometimes it's 15 minutes, sometimes it's an hour. It all depends on how the topic goes. But I want to first start off the podcast by apologizing for my absence last week. I had a few medical issues. As you all may know, I am a disabled veteran. Found at 80% disabled. I have an L4, L5 titanium fusion surrounding, of course, the L4, L5 disc in my lower back, as well as a spinal cord stimulator implant, which is wires that go up my spinal column to let off electromagnetic pulses to help loosen up some of the muscle tightness and stuff that I get. And it helps for some of the part. But when it comes to my back, cold weather, cold temperatures, rain, any type of precipitation is the worst for me. And it wasn't that I didn't want to do the podcast last week. It was just that mentally I was not able to. And, you know, it's kind of like when you just wake up in a mood, you know, and you just kind of feel like, man, I just kind of wish the day would just hurry up and be over so I could start a whole new day. That's kind of like how I get whenever I'm in pain. You know, it's not just a physical pain, but it's also mental. You know, it's a struggle dealing with pain every single day, and some days are a lot worse than others. But with that said, I would like to apologize. I'm sorry, I was not able to do a podcast last week, and so that's why I'm back this week. I'm still dealing with the little back stuff, but it's lightening up a little bit, and it's getting better. So I appreciate all the kind words everyone has posted and given me on social media about my health, and I really am grateful for that. Now, let's talk about stuff. My wife and I had our 35th week baby doctor appointment. We got to see the baby on the sonogram. She looks just like Lee as a baby, my wife Lee, L.A., the other owner of the network, L.A. Edge Web Radio Network. But she looks just like her, what Lee looked like as a baby. Like, we got to see her face, and she has a lot of resemblance to my wife, which is great because I'm glad the baby doesn't look like me, because then we would have had to borrow the neighbor's baby to go out in public. But she has a lot of hair. The baby has a lot of hair. The woman that was the sonogram technician actually said that it even looks like she could even have bangs already. That's a lot of hair. But, you know, my family and Lee's family both have hair, a lot of hair. So it's no surprise to us. We both were born with a head fulls of hair. Neither of us were bald babies. So it's only natural that we have Cousin It as a child. So, with that said, the doctor had a little concern for Lee because the past couple weeks she's had a lot of swelling in her feet and in her hands. She had to take the doctor wanted her to take a week off of work 2 weeks ago. So, you know, she took off and the swelling actually went down, which was good. But when she went back yesterday, a week later, the swelling was back up. There's a little more fluid around the baby in the sac, and my wife's blood pressure is elevated. So he told her full bed rest, no more work until the baby's born, and after you recover from the birth and all that stuff, for maternity leave and all that. So my wife is home and she is recovering well. She's in bed. I'm making her be in bed. And that's what's leading up to today's topic, is guys who believe they're too macho to do quote unquote the woman duties. I've never ever felt this way. I've always felt that men and women are created equal. I always have believed that. I've never believed that, oh, a woman can't do what a guy can do and a guy can't do what a woman can do. Well, there is one aspect. A woman can't get a man pregnant and a man can't have a baby. Okay, so there's a big difference. But when it comes to, you know, just taking care of your family, there should be no type of woman duty or man duty. It should be family duty. For instance, my wife is in bed, so I make sure she always, you know, has her, she always has a cup of water with a straw. So I always make sure that, you know, she has fresh water, fresh ice, is constantly drinking water, make sure she eats. I bug her too much because I'm actually a bit of a smart ass around the house. I'm always reminding Lee to eat more because she's eating for two. And for example, the other night, she had her baby shower this weekend, and her girlfriend Sarah had made some Sloppy Joe mix. Well, Lee had one Sloppy Joe sandwich. Yeah, I'm letting you all soak that in. One. Nothing else, Sloppy Joe sandwich and some water. And I'm thinking, like, man, what am I running, like a Beijing prison camp here? So I start giving her, like, flack about it. Like, you know, you need to eat more. You're eating for two now. And she was like, I'm fine. I'm not hungry. I'm full. So in my typical Chris way, you know, I went out and I cleaned up the dishes, was washing dishes, emptying the dishwasher and stuff of that nature. And I pulled up YouTube on my iPhone and played Natalie Merchant, Eat for Two.
My folly grows inside me.
And she was like, what are you doing? She didn't find it amusing at all. So that's just the way it is around the house. I do the husbandly duties and play the husbandly smartass. And my wife has grown attached to it, and I think she just actually likes it. Don't tell her I said that, though. But no, but I mean, really, I don't have a problem with, you know, helping out around the house. Like I said, when my back is really hurting, it's very hard for me to do a lot. But I still try to help do the laundry. You know, I wash the laundry, I dry the laundry, I fold the laundry, I hang the laundry. You know, I'll help clean the bathrooms, I'll help do the dishes, I'll help her with the house cleaning of what I can do. Vacuuming seems to take a toll on me because I think it's the constant back and forth motion. It really causes my back to strain. So I think that pushing forward, pulling back on the vacuum isn't too good for me. So I have to be very limited when I do that. But I try to do the things around the house I can help with. And I think that every guy should be willing to do that, especially if the guy, you know, pursues the girl, proposes to the girl, marries the girl. You know, it's like you've already gone through all the steps of wanting to be with the girl, but you're too manly to do the things around the house that you're supposed to. I mean, what are we living in, the 1950s? It's ridiculous. You know, I love my grandparents. I grew up, my grandparents were like my parents. They raised me from the age of 14 until they passed away. And God rest their souls. And it's coming up on the year mark of my grandmother's passing. And, you know, it reminds me a little bit of the ways that I used to watch my grandfather and how he would, you know, sit in his recliner and yell for my grandmother to come in and refresh his drink or ask her to bring him something. And I used to always sit there as a kid and look at it and be like, you're fully capable of getting your own drink. And I didn't really understand the concept of that, but that was the old school nature. You know, the man worked, the woman took care of the house. But there was a difference. My grandmother worked also. My grandmother was a nurse for 30 years. And I think that it's that when the man and the woman work, both work, it has to be, there has to be some level of compromise between, if you want a drink, get your ass up and get a drink. Like I said, I love my grandparents, but I do not believe in that old school thought process. I'm not like that. I'm not a jealous husband. I'm a very protective husband. You know, if you upset my wife, you upset me. And I don't care if we're the best of friends. Because before everybody else in my life, besides my immediate family, my wife was there first. And I'm always going to protect her, just like I'm always going to protect my children. You know, I may have some tough love from time to time, but it's not done out of spite or discontent, but it's done out of moral teachings and teaching responsibility and that kind of nature. Because if you don't teach your kids responsibility, how are they supposed to learn it? That's my theory on it. And I was fortunate enough to have my grandparents who taught me very good morals. You know, and I had my grandmother who taught me how to do laundry and taught me to do the dishes and take out the trash and do that kind of stuff. You know, I had chores and I you know, mowed the lawn and stuff of that nature. You know, I felt like I was earning my keep as a teenager because I don't feel that I've never been one. I don't like mooching. You know, I don't like using people. I don't like taking advantage of people. I don't like trying to find a way to better myself for something that I want. Instead, my outlook is I want to try to help others. I'm not going to take advantage of others. You know, people have offered to give us money and stuff in the past, and I've always been embarrassed by it. I hate having people offer us money because I know in their way, it's just they're doing it out of the kindness of their heart. But my whole process of it is I don't want to take money from somebody who could use it just as much as me, you know. And when I look around the world and I see people take advantage of others constantly, I mean, we're a really, really messed up world right now, folks. People are out for whatever they can get, whenever they can get it, and they don't care who is affected by it. But then they'll turn around and they'll defend the people that they use. And it's like, how can you use that person but yet defend them if somebody else takes advantage of them? Because you're no different than the person that's taking advantage of them. And so that's where it comes around with the whole manly man thing. Like, I feel like if men don't want to do household duties, they're taking advantage of their women. And I don't agree with that. You know, and the same goes for women who don't want to do chores around the house or don't want to cook or don't want to do anything and just want to sit around the house on their ass and make their men do everything. I don't agree with that either. I think that marriage is a 100% both party involved commitment. I believe strongly in marriage. I believe in being faithful. I believe in being trusting. I believe in being honest. And I believe in being loving and caring. And that all is what marriage is about to me. And that means that since my wife is on bed rest, I'm going to have to step it up. Pain or no pain, I'm going to have to step up my part to help take care of her because I don't want her to elevate her health risks any higher than what they are at this point. And a lot of guys would be like, oh, well, you know, yeah, I understand. But once that baby's born, man, don't expect me to do this or that or this or that. It's like, no, you know what, man? You help make that baby. So you better take care of that baby. You better change diapers. You better, you know, take the time to spend with your child in their development. You know, and like I'm a gamer. And so I told the guys already that I game with from time to time that, yo, guys, I'm not going to be around for a while once the baby's born because I'm putting my time into my family. You know, and I have a relationship with my son. He's much older now. And, you know, he'll be 20 this year. And so with a almost 20-year-old and a newborn on the way, it's quite the jump. But what my job will be is to not only take care of our daughter, but I also need to continue to teach my son moral standings. You know, teach him that, you know, if you need to learn how to, you know, be responsible with your actions, and you need to learn to take ownership of your actions. Because one thing that I've noticed with this world is that so many people can pass the blame on others so quickly before they own their own actions. It's always somebody else's fault. And in reality, you know what? It's really not. Because if you created the situation to begin with and got others involved, and the people that you got involved didn't do what you had planned in your head with the situation, they're not the ones at fault. You're the one at fault for thinking and expecting the people that you got involved to do what you want against their own judgment. So you kind of created your own chaos. And so, you know, take ownership, people. That's all we need to do. Take ownership of our actions. We'll be better people by it. We'll teach our kids and the younger generations a much, much better moral standing. We can't keep letting people take the blame for things that they're not guilty of. You know, so many people are so quick to just say, oh, I didn't say that, or I didn't do that, or no, that was because of so-and-so, or no, it was because of you, all right? If your life is crap right now and you're feeling down on yourself because your life isn't nothing right now, then do something about it. You know, only you can control your own destiny. It's your life. You get to choose how to live it. And if you want to live it in misery, then don't expect others to live in the misery with you. But if you want to try to do something with your life and better it, you're going to find out that it's much better and much easier in life to actually try to do something with it, because the support system that you'll get from other people is going to be extraordinary. It's going to be significant compared to the support system that you'll get if you just want to sit around and feel sorry for yourself. So with that said, I am going to make this a very short podcast, because I just want to simply leave you guys with this. If you're married, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, marriage is a commitment between two people. If you're in a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, what have you. If you're with somebody else, it's not about you now. It's about the relationship. It's about the marriage. It's about whatever the committed relationship is that you are in. It's no longer a one-person deal. And that's where a lot of people forget to let their independence go when they're in a relationship. They have to let that go. If you're in a relationship, you have to learn that it's two people involved. Sometimes there are more people involved. You know, you might be in a relationship with someone who has children, or you might be in a relationship with someone who's very close to their parents, and their parents are involved in every move of their life. If you're going to get involved with that person, you have to accept every single piece of baggage that comes with them. And I don't say baggage in a negative manner, but I'm saying it's a package deal. You know, and when I say baggage, I just mean everything that comes with them as a whole, their family, their children, whatever. That's a package deal. And so if you're not ready to take on the responsibility of that and be a man or be a woman and do your duties that are needed to make that relationship work, then why are you in the relationship? With that said, folks, I am Chris. This has been another episode of That Podcast with That Guy. And I would like to thank you all for tuning in. And again, I apologize for last week. Again, my medical issues would just not allow me to muster up the mental strength to even do a podcast. So I wanted to at least give you guys something this week. Like I said, I'm still dealing a little bit with the back pain, so I'm not going to make this a very long one. But again, folks, as I leave every show, live life to the fullest and live how you want to be remembered. Do you want to be remembered as that cool guy or that cool girl that everybody liked and that gave and loved and shared? Or do you want to be that miserable guy or miserable girl that did nothing with their life but feel sorry for themselves? It's up to you. Now it's time to live how you want to be remembered. But now it's time to enjoy this kick-ass rock and metal song by a really, really cool band. I got to talk with the lead guitarist, Peter Pallas, of this awesome band. The song's called Deathborn by Anika. That's A-N-A-K-A, folks. Go check them out. Anika with Deathborn. This song rocks. Have a good one, peeps.
Rise from your...